You're listening to the Life-Changing Discipleship Podcast. Here's the deal. If you make disciples by sitting around and talking, you shouldn't be surprised when your disciples sit around and talk and talk and talk. This is the podcast for those weary of just talking and ready to start activating in the mission Jesus gave us to change the world. The Life-Changing Discipleship Podcast, where disciples and disciple makers gather to grow and go together. Here's your host, Dr. Matt Friedemann.
Hey friends, great to have you back with us today. Remember, the place for man, for woman, complete in all their powers is in the spiritual fight. And somewhere today, somewhere in the world, making disciples of the nations. So stay tuned, stay encouraged. We have a rendezvous with destiny. Hey, welcome back to the Life-Changing Discipleship Podcast. So very good to have you with us here. Want to remind you, our sponsor is Wesley Biblical Seminary. And that means you can go to wbs.edu and find out all the things that are possibilities for you there. We have a lay institute all the way up to a doctorate degree and a lot of things in between. So we want you to take advantage of those opportunities. So check it out at wbs.edu. Delighted today to have with me a guest, an old friend. And frankly, not many people remember this after so many years. I used to have something called the Matt Friedemann Show. And there are very few people I actually would trust to do a great job. And then, you know, whatever they would say was going to be appropriate. But one of those guys in the world, in fact, one of the very few, I had about two or three of these guys, and I used him the most, was a gentleman named Chris Lohrstorfer. And Chris is with us today. Chris.
Hey, good to be with you.
You miss doing the Matt Friedemann Show?
Absolutely.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Anyway, Chris, of course, is a couple things. First off, he's senior pastor at Hines Independent Methodist Church in Raymond, Mississippi. But he's also at Wesley Biblical Seminary here now and working with our theology department and doing a great job. He's written some books. And I have one today that I want to make sure. Let me tell you how much I think about this book, Chris. I actually give this away. The last few days, I've been giving this away to donors. I thought, man, I want them to have a good impression of us. Let me put this in their hands.
Cool. There you go.
No, it is cool. And it's a book that you can get at Amazon.com. Just punch it up. Chris Lohrstorfer, if you can't remember that name, remembering this, Learning to Breathe. And so this is Mastering the Art of Spiritual Respiration. So Learning to Breathe is a volume we'll talk about here in just a minute. Chris, you've been kicking around here at the seminary how long now?
Since 2011.
2011, no yeah. kidding. And that you kind of start off doing some adjunct stuff first.
Yeah, that's how I started. Online theology is what I was originally brought in for.
And then you started course teaching, and then you became the academic dean.
Right.
And then now you're teaching full-time.
Yep.
So tell me, is this a school worth considering?
Oh, absolutely. I tell you, there's nothing better. When I get done with a class, almost every class this semester, and I'm teaching four different courses, it's almost like revival. It's very interesting. God is really doing something in our students and through our students, and it's a very exciting place to be right now.
Now, some people may not know, and some people might not even care, but there has been a breakup of the United Methodist Church.
Right.
And the breakoff group are basically the evangelicals that are part of something now called the Global Methodist Church.
Right.
And we happen to have about 300 of those students here right with us this semester. I don't know about your classes. In my classes, they are an absolute utter delight to have in there.
Yeah, they're eating it up. And some of them have joined a few other denominations, which we also have. It's the same thing there. They're so excited to be free from some of the nonsense that they've been having to go through, and they're just really excited about learning.
Yeah. I forgive me for not saying that, but that's true. So some of the breakoff went to groups like the Congregational Methodists.
Right. Independent Methodists, yeah. Other places, yeah.
So everywhere I see these folks where they're in some other place than where they were with the United Methodist Church, they just seem to be alive, more alive than ever before.
It's an interesting revival of Methodism. Is what it is.
No question about it. Well, listen, back to this book, Learning to Breathe. Yep. Again, I'm starting to give it out to everybody I know just because I want them to have a good impression of us. And by us, I mean Wesley Biblical Seminary. But this is something that's easy to read. Yep. It's relatively brief. In other words, I'm looking at the actual text. It's only 71 pages long. Right. But I think if you'll read it and digest it and consider pretty much what's being said here in terms of mastering the art of spiritual respiration, you will grow. No, I think you grow as a Christian. That's why we're having this on the Discipleship Podcast today, Chris. So give us a basic concept. Learning to breathe, what in the world?
Okay, so John Wesley, that's my area of expertise. John Wesley used this concept of spiritual respiration. And I tell you how I came into thinking about this. One day, some students, I was teaching at a college, and some students wanted to have a little roundtable discussion about intimacy with God. Because everybody wants a relationship with God, but they just don't know how to do it. You know, how do I interact with the divine? So we were having this discussion, and one of the professors from that school was sitting at another table, and he heard our discussion. And at the end, he leaned over and said, "I disagree." And I said, "With what?" He said, "All you've been saying." He said, here's what Christianity is. We do our best down here to try to obey God's rules, and someday we'll see him face to face. That's all you get.
That's it.
That's it. And I said, wow, that is pretty sad. A list of rules we're going to try to live by, hopefully, and someday we get to see him. I said, I don't even know how to describe what that is. It's certainly not the New Testament. It's not even historic Christianity. It's certainly not Wesleyan, which he was claimed to be.
So let me stop you right there. If you could say that Jesus had it right, that really what we're trying to obey is love and love, right?
Exactly.
Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are two pretty good things to obey, right?
Right.
So could you say those two things and then go to heaven?
Yeah, I'd say that because, and this is interesting. You're hitting on something that's got it in my head here. I see this meme sometimes about John Wesley online where it says, Wesley said, you know, I always preach the law first and then grace, that order. But they never read the next sentence. He said, the law, that is, the law of Jesus, love God and love your neighbor. And he says, what I do in the start of my sermon is, I start off with, God is a God of love who creates us for love, and we have failed at that.
Hmm.
And then he goes into grace about how salvation can bring you into that love. He never mentions the Jewish law. And even in his book on the origin and nature and properties of the law, he says, I'm not talking about the ceremonial law. I'm talking about the law which God gave us in creation, which is love God, love your neighbor.
Hmm.
So it's often misunderstood that way with Wesley. But yeah, I mean, and his point is that you really can't love being self-centered until God does a work in your heart.
So you, however, take all that concept and say, let's talk about it in terms of breath. Breathe in, I breathe out. So what's spiritual respiration mean here?
Okay, let me just read you what Wesley said.
Okay.
This is from his sermon called The Great Privilege of Those Who Are Born of God, one of my favorites. He said, the spirit or breath of God is immediately inspired, breathed into the newborn soul. He's talking about how to be born again. And the same breath which comes from returns to God. As it is continually received by faith, so it's continually rendered back by love and praise and thanksgiving. Love and praise and prayer being the breath of every soul which is truly born of God. And by this new kind of spiritual respiration, spiritual life is not only sustained, but increased day by day together with spiritual strength, motion, etc., etc. And then he says, as if you've been born again, as above described, then there's a continual receiving and then continually rendering back to God. So in the same way, like your body just tens of thousands of times a day, your body automatically breathes in, taking in oxygen, which feeds the cells, and then breathes out the carbon dioxide, which would be poison otherwise. You have this process of going back and forth. He said, that's relationship with God. You breathe in his grace and you breathe out his grace. And if you do that every day, he says that's what, first of all, sustains you where you are, but second of all, brings growth and takes you farther in grace. Otherwise, there's death. If you stop breathing in or breathing out, you die.
Okay, let's talk about the breathing it in part of this thing, okay?
Yep.
So if you're going to breathe something in, by the way, this sounds like not a bad way to do some meditation. Sitting in your easy chair, close your eyes and start just thinking in terms of I'm breathing in something, I'm breathing out something. So what are you trying to breathe in?
Okay. The first thing I would say is this, that breathing in for Wesley, taking in God's grace happens through the means of grace.
Hmm.
Now that's an ancient concept. Unfortunately, we don't really talk about it in the evangelical world much, but That's pretty old.
Yeah, and I think the new terminology, new, it's not new.
Yeah.
But I think Richard Foster kind of stole the thunder from Means of Grace with spiritual disciplines. They're not different.
They're not different, but there's a slightly different concept involved.
There is.
For him, you practice these things like a good soldier practices. For Wesley, you're interacting with the grace of God, mm-hmm. not just you getting better at prayer. But when you pray, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you're speaking to Him. Mm. And so it's the same thing, but a little different emphasis.
So you breathe in the means of grace, and of course, the means of grace. There's two categories of those, right?
Right.
You got the works of piety, right. the works of mercy.
Right.
Right.
And what I would suggest from Wesley is that they both are working together in breathing in and out, because when it comes to breathing out, he says prayer, praise, and love. Well, how do you love God? You love God by loving others. And so I think for Wesley, a big part of the works of mercy would be taking what God is giving you and spreading it to other people, which is a part of breathing out. But yeah, you have both those sides, works of piety, works of mercy. Works of piety being your own devotional life, it's very important. But works of mercy, if you take in oxygen, and again, there's an interesting process which I had to think about when I did this book. You breathe it in, it goes into your bloodstream, and it actually feeds the cells, but that brings about a waste product. And I've thought about some people I've known, I start to say Christian, let's call them Christians with air quotes. They read their Bible every day. They would never go to a dance or smoke a cigarette, but they're some of the crankiest, mean people I've ever met.
So explain that to me. How can we, because they do, they're practicing. Some of the meanest people in the whole world, I'm with you.
They're breathing in, but they're not breathing out.
Ah.
Yeah, if you don't breathe out, that poison becomes poisonous to you, and you got to be careful. I think that's what happens. They've set themselves a discipline, but they haven't set a discipline to breathe in and breathe out. They're just doing a discipline.
Okay, I love that. And there's not too many people alive that just breathe in.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. Like I can count like none.
Yeah, right.
Now, but is there an inappropriate way to breathe in? I was thinking about this the other day. When we were talking about, I was at an event that you were at, and we were talking about good works. And I just thought, is there a bad way to do good works? And there is.
Yeah.
There is a bad way to do good works.
For pride's sake.
Yeah.
Or maybe thinking that God's going to love you more.
So yeah. With the means of grace, is there a bad way to do the works of piety? And works of piety, again, let me go ahead and suggest what we're talking about. These are things like prayer. Is there a bad way to do prayer? Is there a bad way to do Bible study? Is there a bad way to take the Lord's Supper? Is there a bad way
to worship
or attend a small group,
right,
or being a disciple? So are there bad ways to do breathing in?
Yeah. Yeah, Wesley said in his sermon on the means of grace, they're not magic. So if you do them without the intention of connecting to God, you're just doing stuff. And of course, if you're just doing stuff to look good or to maybe think that God appreciates you more or somehow get points with God, yeah, you're barking up the wrong tree.
So how common is that we would actually have church people, serious church people, tithers, people attended every day their whole life, and every time the church doors open? It is a serious problem with a lot of people that we breathe in poorly. We breathe in without making God the end of the breathing.
Think about it this way. How many Christians, so-called, think that you're supposed to read your Bible every day, and they just do it? They don't know why, but here is end of the day, they're in bed, they drag the Bible over, read a couple of verses, and say, I did it, and shut the Bible. It didn't get into them. They got into it a little bit, but it didn't get into them. They read it because they're supposed to, and for the life of them, they couldn't give you the answer why you're supposed to do that. Now, part of that's our fault. Because preachers over the years have said, you must read your Bible every day. And we don't tell them why or what it does or even how to do it. And so part of that's our fault. But most people in the church, if they read their Bible, they don't know why they're reading the Bible. They're just supposed to. Or they say their prayers. I say it that way specifically. Because that's what you do.
Okay, so let me tell you what I think about that. I think that's a good thing. occasionally. In other words, you don't feel like doing it, you do it anyway.
Well, yeah, yeah.
I don't feel like kissing my wife. I'm going to kiss her anyway, right?
Right.
But to do that on a steady, ongoing, all the time basis, that's what's dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't really know what you're doing here, like Wesley said, when you read the inspired scriptures, the same Holy Spirit that inspired the scripture is now inspiring you in a different kind of way. But he's also talking to you. He's working in you. And so if you don't realize that, you just breeze through there and you didn't get what you could have gotten.
So give us a practical tip. Just tell us how you do it. When you read the Bible, let's say you're on a chapter a day reading plan or whatever it might be, you know, all those reading plans they have out there now. And when Chris Lorsdorf reads the Bible, how do you make God the end of your Bible reading?
I read it and then I ask him the question, what does this have to do with me?
Hmm.
And a lot of times he gives me an answer pretty quick.
Hmm.
And so that's what I do. I want to make application of it to my own life rather than just read it. And, you know, maybe not every verse. I start reading and then all of a sudden God says, boom. And I say, hey, wait a minute.
Hmm.
What am I doing here? What's this? What do I need to do? You know, I just make that application and that's it.
Okay. I think I love that. Let me ask you another one. Fasting is something, of course, virtually nobody practices anymore. Jesus definitely wanted us to fast.
Right.
He didn't say if you get around to it.
Right.
He said when you do it. It's been always been something very important to the Christian church. It's always been something very important to the Wesleyan movement. And yet somehow we don't do it.
Right.
When I fast, I have a tough time keeping my mind on God. How do you do that? Fasting is a little different thing than Bibles. How do you keep your mind on God fasting?
I think you have to do those things that would focus it. For instance, maybe not just fasting by itself, but during the fast, you have to have specific things you're going to do. Maybe some journaling during that time, maybe some scripture reading and study, etc., so that in the process, you're actually focusing. There could be some things.
I love that. Just coupling it up with some other things.
You got to do something. Maybe like there's something you want to memorize or quote during that time. I remember one time when I was in England and I had a couple of days kind of to spare. And I said, you know, I'm going to memorize that first part of Hebrews chapter 1.
Hmm.
By the second day, I was walking down the street, Hebrews 1 through 5. I got the whole five chapters.
And doubly helpful is fasting supposed to help your mental acuity.
Yeah, yeah, it does, man. You can really, I think you focus better. So why not use that ability to focus by focusing something on God? I think you have to double it up with something.
Very interesting. Okay, so all these works of piety, this is how you're going to be breathing in. Let me also ask this. How do we do it with our giving? Now, that's not one of Wesley's, but I throw it in there with the works of piety anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Tithing, giving over and above your tithe.
Yeah.
How do you make God the end of that?
In my bulletin at my church, we don't do a lot of things extra, you know, but one of the things I do is my bulletin is set up where it's everything's about worship. So when it comes to the giving part in there, worship God through giving is what I title it. And I do that for a reason because, and everything's that way, you know, worship God through singing, worship God through whatever, because I want them to know everything we're doing here is worship. The offering is not an interruption of worship. It's a part of worship. And I think if you can set your mind on that and actually focus your thought processes that way, I think it becomes a part of that. This is a part of how you do it. Breathing in is about, and if you notice, like in the book, I kind of, with the means of grace, the means of the works of piety, I kind of put it in three categories: prayer, Bible study, and worship. Because I think the fasting, the other things are a part of, like Lord's Supper, all that's a part of worship. But giving would be a part of that. So anything singing would be a part of that. Anything you can do that is worshiping God is a part of what should be regularly done. Because the thing about it being breathed in is you got to breathe in all the time. It's constant. Just as we're talking, we've done it 1,000 times here, just breathing in. And these things are not something special. Reading your Bible is not something special. Prayer is not special. Lord's Supper is not special. Giving is not special. It's life.
It is life. But I tell you what, there's a lot of Christians moving around today that don't.
No, I know. I mean,
and increasingly since the COVID thing, aren't even attending, let alone praying and reading scripture.
Yeah, and that's
to which I think you would say, let me put words in your mouth to see if you agree with the words, and that is, and therefore that means they're not living.
That's correct. And there's certain, well, what Wesley says about all that stuff is, if you're not doing this regularly, not only will you not, he says it's not reasonable for you to expect sanctification. He says it's not reasonable that you would think that you would grow. And then he says, it's not even reasonable to think that you would stay where you are spiritually if you're not doing these things on a regular basis. And I think that's the reality. If you think about it, how in the world would you even relate to God in any way, interact with God or his grace, if you're not doing one of these things? Mm. And that's the problem. If people aren't doing it, they're not interacting with God. So they're not breathing in. Therefore, they're not living. That's the key. Yeah. Mm.
So that we've been talking about breathing in. And by the way, we're talking with Dr. Chris Lohrstorfer about his book, Learning to Breathe, Mastering the Art of Spiritual Respiration. He's making the case you definitely want to master this art because it means life.
It's
and
life.
Increasing life and a deeper spiritual life. And not only for you, but for the people you disciple. So we're talking about breathing in. Now let's talk about breathing out. Specifically, what does that mean? What should that mean for a devoted life?
Well, so Wesley says that the breath of every soul that's born of God is love and praise and prayer. That is the outward breathing of every Christian. So what I did was, now I thought about it, you know, of course, love is what, so those three things, love, as I've already said, the way you love God is by loving others. If you're not loving others, you're not loving God. I mean, that's pretty plain in the scripture. But the interesting thing is that prayer in this case, in the breathing in prayer, you know, that's one thing, but breathing out prayer is a whole nother thing. Because I said that breathing in is about worship, putting God in his place. But when you breathe out in the sense of, I've got your grace now, what is breathing out? That prayer is a praise of adoration. The breathing in is worship, sharing God your heart, surrendering to his will. But if you're breathing all that in, you're reading the scripture, you're in prayer, you're worshiping God, you're taking all your requests to him, what's the response of all that? Mm. It's adoration. It's prayer of adoration. And that does connect with praise as well, because, you know, praise kind of changes the atmosphere in which you're living. If you begin to praise God for who he is, even before he's done what you're asking him to, you praise God for who he is, your perspective on the situation begins to change.
Hmm. Indeed, it does. You one of the things you write in here is, neglect is the great enemy of your soul. So breathing in, breathing out, all these dynamics. I'm going to ask you a question. It's going to be a personal question. What is the hardest thing for Chris Lohrstorfer not to neglect? Is there something in your life? Because I bet everybody has these things.
Yeah.
Something that I bet it's a little bit like the spiritual gifts. There's some things all of us do well, and there's some things we struggle with a little bit. What would be your thing that you kind of wish you could do better on?
Well, you know, maybe all of it. I don't know.
No, that's not true.
Well, you know, I mean, I do
all of it. You
got
serious strengths.
I do all of it, but sometimes I wish, like, particularly, I'm just saying about this week, I've had some great prayer times this week, but I wish that every day was that powerful.
I actually like that. No, I like that. There's just some day, you can go through doldrums spiritually.
Yeah.
St. John called it, St. John of the Cross called it the
dark night of the soul. Yeah.
And there are just times like that that happen to you.
Yeah.
That's when I think just going through the motions is pretty important.
Right. And that's what John of the Cross also said. St. John of the Cross, 1500s, Spanish monk. He said, when your prayer's not getting through, when you're not having any real interaction, do it anyway.
Mm.
You just keep doing it until you break through the dark night. That's right. You don't stop. That would be going the opposite direction.
Yes, indeed. Well, the spiritual respiration is going to be pretty important. How does a pastor or how does a disciple maker help his disciples, help her disciples get better at this thing?
Well, one of the, when I wrote this, one of the things I thought was, not only will this help people, and I've had a lot of people tell me it did impact their life, but part of what I wanted to do with this was give people a way to disciple other people. So for instance, if you understand that that breathing in and breathing out is life, then, and you got a new disciple, what are you going to try to train him in? Well, you train him in the means of grace and how to breathe in, breathe out. Robert Coleman, in fact, he wrote the little blurb on the back.
So I'm going to read that. By the way, Robert Coleman, you all will know him. If you're listening to this podcast and you're into disciple making, you know Robert Coleman. He wrote the premier book on this.
That's right.
For the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like in 60 different languages and about 12 million sold. Robert Coleman said in this book, we've been called to make disciples, but most people don't know where to begin or how to help someone else relate to God. And Chris, what you're saying, or how to learn how to breathe.
Exactly.
So this book, says Coleman, is a primer on discipleship. It's a must read. Chris Lorsdorfer's book is a must read for those who want to grow in their relationship with God or for those who want to help others. That's what I'm asking. How do you help others do this thing?
Right. I think if you get a good idea of spiritual respiration, help those people do that. Because I think too often we want to try to train them in some thoughts. Why not just help them understand how to relate? Because if they're in the scripture and they're in prayer and they're worshiping and they're serving others, that's how they spiritually grow.
Okay.
I think a discipler who misses that is missing the real power behind discipling another person.
So I think what you're saying is learn the means of grace and how to do them well.
Exactly.
So let me tell you where I think we, maybe where I could have done better across my career at this. And that is to say, I want to teach people the means of grace, but we've already talked about today, and I really appreciate it, but how to find God at the end of that means.
Yeah.
How to find God when you pray. Don't just go through the motions.
Right.
Don't just read the Bible chapter. How do you find Jesus in this chapter? And then how can you worship him? And I would go on there, not just how you can worship him, but how can you, again, obey him? How can you do what he wants you to do from this chapter?
Yeah.
And I don't think we think that nearly enough.
No, we do a little training, you know, we want to give him a few verses to memorize and think about some doctrinal truth, which isn't bad. But if that's all they've got, if they haven't mastered the ability of breathing in, breathing out grace, relating to God intimately, if they haven't mastered that, then they're not going to go far as a disciple.
I know. I'm going to do a little mini commercial here, but y'all, if you want to learn how to do this, come to Wesley Biblical Seminary.
That's what we do.
I mean, it is what we do.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing when you do it. I love the fact that we're not just learning theology, but we're practicing the means of grace. We hold people accountable for it in class. We also hold people accountable for going out there and get a work of mercy. And man, some of the testimonies that have come to our school through that.
Yeah.
Leper colonies, working with sex trafficking, working in nursing homes.
All kinds of ministry.
Outside abortion clinics. It's just hilarious what's going on. All right. So any last thoughts here? You say on the back cover, Christianity is not just a religion. At the end of the day, spiritual respiration is about a relationship.
That's it. Yeah. And again, most people don't know how to relate to God. A lady just recently said to me, I've always wanted to, but I have no idea how to do it. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. Learn to relate to him in the means of grace.
It's a quick, easy book. You guys are going to love it. It's like I said, I'm just starting to give it away. To our donors here and to our prospective donors, say, this is kind of what we're all about. Read it. And if you like it, we'd very much love to partner with you here at Wesley Biblical Seminary. I hope that says something to you, Chris. I'm giving the thing away.
There you go. Nice.
Because I think it gives them a good idea about who we are.
Yeah.
Learning to Breathe, Mastering the Art of Spiritual Respiration. You can get that at Amazon.com. Teleos Books is also a website you can go to.
Teleos Press, isn't it?
Teleospress.com, yeah. And I think you'll very much enjoy reading this book, getting into it, and most of all, enjoy going deeper. Breathing. Listen, if you haven't breathed for a while, when you start, it's kind of a refreshing experience, isn't it? And to learn how to do it well, all the more. Hey, thanks so very much, Chris. Great to have you on the program today.
Sir.
Hey, by the way, you ever want to come back and host the life-changing...
Yeah, let me know if you need me. Yeah.
Oh, you've been a good friend for a long time. All right, it's been an honor to have you listen to the Life-Changing Discipleship Podcast with Matt Friedman. My wife thanks you, my daughter thanks you, my sons and their wives thank you, and I can assure you that I thank you for listening to this broadcast today. Love God, live clean, keep the faith, make disciples, and God bless you, dear friends. We'll see you back here real soon.